Bonsoir à tous, this is London Calling and welcome to the Sounds of London. Battle come down, London calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing. Except for the ring of the truncheon thing. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear. Cause London is drowning, I live by the river. Tonight, please welcome back Doug Riley, who's taking us through all the concerts he's seen over the years. Hi, Doug.
Hi, good to be back.
Welcome back. Where are you going to start tonight, then?
We're starting with one of the best concerts I've ever been to. We may as well start with a bang. It was Queen, and it's Keep Yourself Alive.
Queen from 1973, Keep Yourself Alive. from the Live Killers album, is that correct?
Yep, that's right, yes. It's a great regret of mine that I only ever got to see Queen once, because I thought they were just amazing in concert. But they didn't come round when places I was living at the time. Just never got to see them again. And moving on then to someone that I loved to see, but Louise hated, is Dylan. We actually saw Dylan in London at the big exhibition hall, Earls Court. My wife fell asleep and I was entranced. But backing him was the band. And the band played about a quarter of the set themselves. And they were just magnificent. So I've chosen a song that I really enjoy the lyrics rather than anything else. And it's When I Paint My Masterpiece.
Oh, the streets of Rome are filled with rubble. Ancient footprints are everywhere. You can almost think that you're seeing double. It sure has been a long, hard climb. Train wheels are running through the back of my memory. When I ran on the hilltop following a pack of wild geese. Someday everything is gonna sound like a rhapsody.
When I Paint My Masterpiece, originally written by Bob Dylan, of course.
Yep.
I remember a French friend of mine asking me to explain some Bob Dylan lyrics. I must admit, it was too difficult.
I'd have trouble in English.
I know. It's and he was fascinated by some of the Dylan songs, of course.
But, oh, yeah.
But try explaining what they all mean to someone. It's really difficult.
Some of them, when he rejigs them and plays them with a different instrument and different beat in them, it's almost impossible to tell it's the same song.
No, no.
Anyway, moving on from Dylan to someone I saw in Belfast on an Americana tour with quite a number of people I'd never heard of before or since, but she just shone out like a beacon and really got into, bought all the recent CDs and some of the early ones. That's Emmy Lou Harris, the muse or partner of Graham Parsons, of course. Different now, different singer. Now writes nearly all her own music. But the song I've chosen is a song called Wrecking Ball. Again, I think it's just great lyrics.
But if you still decide
a change from a traditional acoustic sound there. That was Emmylou Harris from 1995 and Wrecking Ball. Apparently the producer on there was the same guy that U2 use. I can just sort of hear a bit of U2 in the background there. Oh, with that guitar, that electric guitar.
Yeah, interesting, because it is different from a lot of her things, yeah.
Where did you see her?
In Belfast, yeah. And only the once, sadly, but... Okay. And following, yes, when I lived in Newcastle a long, long, long time ago now, I used to call in City Hall once a week and see who was coming and just if fancied the names or even people I'd never heard of just used to get tickets and go along and see. And I went to see Harry Chapin really on the back of a song called WOLD, which was not particularly a hit and didn't particularly like, but I'd heard of him. And he was absolutely one of the top five greatest live performers I've ever seen. He's a storyteller in reality, but him and his brothers, generally his backing group with a couple of other people, and they just told wonderful stories to music. The problem is for a program like this, all the songs are far too long.
They're too long, aren't they?
So we're getting a 10-minute song that I doubt somehow we'll hear all of it, but it's Harry Chapin and A Better Place to Be.
This is probably the favorite thing of mine, at least to me, that I've written. And it's about a small town upstate New York called Watertown, New York. That's more than it deserves. I spent a week there one afternoon, and I came away with this story, which is a rather, well, strange tale of a little midnight watchman, a rotund waitress, and a girl he picks up one night, and it's called A Better Place to Be. It was an early morning barroom, and the place just opened up. And the little man came in so fast, and he started at his cuffs. And the broad who served the whiskey, she was a big old friendly girl who tried to fight her empty nights by smiling at the world. And she said, "Hey, Bob, it's been a while since you've been around. Where the hell you've been hiding? And why you look so down?" Well, the little man just sat there like he'd never heard a sound. The waitress, she gave out with a cough, and acting not the least put off, she spoke once again. She said, "I don't want to bother you. Consider it's understood. I know I'm not no beauty queen, but I sure can listen good." And the little man took his drink in his hand, and he raised it to his lips. He took a couple of sips, and then he told the waitress this story. "The midnight watchman down in Miller's Tool and Die, and I watch the metal rusting. I watch the time go by. A week ago at the diner, I stopped to get a bite, and this here lovely lady, she sat two seats from my right. She was all right. You see, she was so damn beautiful that she could warm a winter frost. But she looked long past lonely and well nigh found her lost. Now I'm not much of a mover or a pick-em-up easy guy, but I decided
to glide on over and give her one good try. A try. When I was tongue-tied like a schoolboy, I stammered out some words. It did not seem to matter much, 'cause I don't think she heard. She just looked clear on through me to a space back in my head. It shamed me in the silence. Quietly, she said.
Could have been a novel, that, couldn't it? A twist of irony at the end there as well in the story.
Indeed.
Harry Chapin from 1972.
Yep.
And A Better Place to Be. Oh, that's excellent, thank you.
What made him such a standout artist was that he didn't talk the talk, he actually walked the walk. He set up a charity because he was obsessed by people starving in the world, and he couldn't understand how America and the world could have so much food and there were starving people. So he set up a charity completely of his own volition, and half of everything he made from his entire career, and if you're in his band you had to accept that, half of everything they took just went to the charity. Wow. And he did loads of things like that for charity. He was a really astonishing guy.
Ahead of his time, really.
Yeah,
in that sense. Yeah.
And he walked the walk.
Yeah. And unfortunately died in an accident.
Yeah, car accident in New York, actually. Really? Horrible. But now for something completely different, as we said before, we're going to go really hit the old pop scene again with Dion and The Wanderer.
And I show a rosy on my chest, 'cause I'm a wanderer.
The Wanderer by Dion from 1961. It's incredible, incredible that that's only 11 years earlier than Harry Chapin.
Yeah, yeah.
And what a difference it sounds. It sounds much older than 1961, doesn't it?
Indeed. And funnily enough, I've just bought the new Dion CD.
Oh.
And it's really super. So still going strong, it would appear. Next is a group that I got to know a bit when I was living in Scotland in the 90s, Runrig. And particularly got to know the lead singer, Donnie Munro, because he was involved in the Gaelic College on Sky. And now he stood as a MSP, stood down from the group, and was replaced by a Canadian who spoke Gaelic, which is interesting.
So he's a politician now? An MSP.
No, funnily enough, he didn't then get elected, which was a real surprise. But so he's now got a solo career, and he's still involved in local politics. But this is him, and it's another live song, and I think it's just a great track, and it's Pride of the Summer.
Celtic rock group Runrig with a song we're not quite sure what it's called.
No, I think that was called Beat the Drum, and the CD is Pride of the Summer, which I think was a concert at Stirling Castle, if I remember correctly. Enormous group in Scotland.
Oh, that would have been nice. Stirling Castle?
Yeah.
Right.
And the next group everybody's heard of, superb concert, only seen them once, and it was in Dublin. And it was... it was called the Hell Freezes Over Tour because they said they'd never play again till hell froze over. So when they started playing again, they called the tour the Hell Freezes Over Tour. And we went along and we were at the back and really, really enjoying the concert. I like to sit down. I'm not a great one for standing up concerts. But we were right at the back and I thought, they're miming. There's no way there's no way they can be playing this. This is just too like the record. So in the end, Joe and I, mate, we pushed our way right down to the front during the interval. We got right in front of the stage and they were singing live and you couldn't tell the difference between live and the records.
Because the quality of sound was so good.
Yeah, that's really something. And from that day on, I just thought, wow, that's
amazing.
The live, that is astonishing. So here we go with Eagles and Gypsy.
Mistakes are intentional on this program. I wonder if anybody spotted our deliberate error.
I think it's fairly evident I've been partying all weekend, but must do better, I think. That was a long run, of course, followed by Gypsy from the Moody Blues.
Where you come from?
1969, such a long time ago, with Gypsy of a Strange and Distant Time from the album To Our Children's Children's Children.
Indeed.
A bit of a concept album about space travel.
Yeah, my wife wanted to go see them because she was a big fan, and I went, it was good enough, but other than Go Now, really, they've never done much for me. So, but it's clever musicianship, great sound in their own way, but not to
pretty original sound at the time.
Yeah. Moving on, back to a bit of good old-fashioned pop again. Somebody I saw in the 60s again on these tours when everybody came together. This is Gene Pitney with 24 Hours from Tulsa.
That I won't be home anymore, cause something happened to me while I was driving home, and I'm not the same anymore. Oh, I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your arms. I saw a welcoming light and stopped to rest for the night, and that is when I saw her as I pulled in outside of the small motel. She was there, and so I walked up to her, asked where I could get something to eat, and she showed me where. Oh, I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your arms. Took me to the cafe, I asked her if she would stay, she said, okay. Oh, I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your arms. The jukebox started to play, and night time turned into day. As we were dancing closely, all of a sudden I lost control as I held her charms, and I caressed her, kissed her, told her I'd die before I would let her out of my arms. Oh, I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your arms. I hate to do this to you, but I love somebody new. What can I do when I can never, never, never go home again?
They don't make them like that anymore, do they? Gene Pitney, 24 Hours from Tulsa, 1963.
Yeah.
And there's a French version of that by a chap called Claude Francois.
And it's 24 hours from where?
I don't know about that. But apparently it's a different story. Apparently, totally different lyrics and different, although similar sort of theme about having to ditch your girlfriend. But never mind.
All right.
Another story.
And next, really, Kris Kristofferson, singer, actor, songwriter. And to me, songwriter is supreme. Anyone who can write, help me make it through the night, deserves all the praise he gets. And he, as a singer, he had a reputation as a bit of a hellraiser. I think this sort of song does him justice, really. This is his other really well-known song of his own, Sunday Morning Coming Down.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. And
Then I fumbled through my closet for my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. And I shaved my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my brain the night before on cigarettes and songs that I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid cussing at a can that he was kicking. Then I crossed the empty street, caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And it took me back to something that I'd lost somehow, somewhere along the way. On the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. There's something in a Sunday makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound on the sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl who he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to the song that they were singing. Then I headed back for home, and somewhere far away a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like the disappearing dreams of yesterday.
There we are, Chris Christopherson, telling another story, another storyteller really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, singing about the morning after the night before, I think.
I think that was the morning after all these nights before.
Sounded like it. Sunday Morning Coming Down from 1969.
And now we're going to go out with three tracks, and they're all upbeat. The first one is The Hollies and Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress.
Yeah.
Boogie there from the Hollies, from quite long, late in their career, well, a bit later anyway, 1972, well after their invasion of the US, yep. Back in the 60s.
They were an excellent pop group, there's no two ways about it. Mm. But when they lost Graham Nash, to me, it took a lot away from it, but they're still going strong, I think.
I know, yeah, amazing.
And next is Neil Sedaka, who I've seen twice, and couldn't have been more different, really. Once was, I think it was, I forget the name of the theatre, met with a futurist in Scarborough in the middle of winter, and the wind was blowing off the sea, and I don't know how he played the piano. It was so cold.
Scarborough in winter.
Oh, God, it was grim. But then the next time was in Belfast, and we actually got to meet him afterwards. A funny little man, but really superb songwriter and a superb performer. But a bit in the mould of Liberace and people like that, perhaps. But even so, great musician and amazing rock and roll. So here we go with I Go Ape.
Chimpanzee, like I was reeling, rocking, howling from a coconut tree. Honey, can't you see you bring out the monkey business in me? Lama, lama, ling, ting, tong, I'm related to old King Kong. Honey, won't you say you're mine? Where the hunky ducky monkey shine. When you hold my hand, I'm a prehistoric man. I go ape. Monkeys on an abba-dabba honeymoon. I go squealing, screeching, howling like a big baboon. Honey, I'll explode if you don't come and kiss me soon.
Neil Sedaka, I Go Ape, from 1959. I think that was his second single, sounding very like Jerry Lee Lewis,
yeah,
isn't it? With that piano and the saxophones and that sort of rock and roll. And not surprising, because, of course, Jerry Lewis was huge at that time as well.
Even so, no one would imagine Neil Sedaka could do that, but interesting.
Yeah, I think he wrote or co-wrote more than 500 songs,
yeah,
for himself and for other artists. Yeah. Amazing talent.
And the last time I saw him, this Belfast one, he played a lot of the original 60s songs in a different style, like Dylan replayed. And it was quite interesting. The lyrics were brought out more and very melodic. It was a really good concert. And last but not least.
Last. It goes around very quickly, doesn't it?
It's Tina Turner. And this song, which was with Ike originally, Nutbush City Limits, was my favourite dancing song with Brown Sugar. But this is a different version of it, and I can't dance the way I used to either, so I'm going to stay sitting down. So it's Nutbush City Limits, the 90s version.
Thanks for listening, everybody. À la prochaine.